What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Hitbox Heroes podcast. I am one half of your host, Zach.
We are one. I am the other half of your host. We're like, we already did the Gotenks thing. What is, we're like a Megazord, but like only two pieces. So it's like a leg and an arm came together. And they're like, where's the rest of the,
Just like the torso and like part of the foot, like,
Exactly. But I'm your other host, Dave. I think I said that. I don't know.
I think you did. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah. And this is Hitbox Heroes. Here we are. Welcome, everyone. Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
The Zach and Dave show.
Yeah.
You guys, we're rolling with it now. You know, we, for those of you tuning in for the first time to listen to some wonderful Pokemon facts and discussion, this is a new-ish podcast, but stems from a rather old podcast that we used to do. So we're just super pumped to be here and recording this episode. Yeah. Especially, okay, so this week, as you guys know from clicking on this link, it's Pokemon Red and Blue specifically.
It is OG.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, I want to just, well, you have a look on your face like you want to say something.
Yeah, so before we get started with Pokemon, I do want to just point people, especially if you're first time listeners, we've got some crazy good episodes. It's kind of wild that we had such like awesome ones.
Strong
to start.
Start.
Real strong start with the first. We've got an interview with the director of the Tony Hawk documentary. So the Tony Hawk Pro Skater documentary. And we also have an interview with one of our buddies over at Credit Score, which is another awesome podcast that we're affiliated with. So
and
definitely
check out
those episodes.
We actually had another episode that released, it released today, the day that we're recording, but
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So our buddy, it was a tongue twister for me. Our buddy Bobby was on the show too. It's just, it's been awesome. It's been a really fun start.
Real heavy hitters.
Yeah. And we always just have a great time with gaming related stuff, and especially Pokemon. Like,
oh yeah.
These older nostalgic games. So, and Pokemon especially is like, that was like the first game that I really dug into and like sunk my teeth into in a big, big way. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask like what your experience was with it, 'cause you would have been what, 10 when it came to the United States.
I was just like confirming the dates. Yeah. For the US it was in 1998. So I remember the day my brother got it.
Okay.
And he got Pokemon Red. He had a Game Boy already, Game Boy Color. And I believe, and because I got a Game Boy Color then after. Yeah. So we both have Game Boy Colors, and he got it. And then soon after I got Blue. I even remember the day it was weird. He got it on a day. I feel like we both had dentist appointments and he was playing at the dentist's office. But then we went to my uncle's house, which like rarely happened for like dinner. It was like a, just like a special kind of weird weekday. And I read, that's the things that like stick in your head, you know, like it's always like a weird, and he got Pokemon and it was like, so there was all this extra, it was like everything kind of a hat on a hat on a hat, like everything piled up. And, but and I remember when I got it, it was one of those things. I was thinking about it earlier today too, that like it, like you said, it was one of those first games you kind of owned, especially at that.
Right.
Like, and I don't mean just like physically having it, but like I had my own Game Boy. I had my own Pokemon because I was going to, like, I'm going to create my own team. This is going to be my representation if I ever face off against somebody. And that's like, I've just always loved that idea, especially for multiplayer games nowadays, because especially with like the customization ability and like, you're like, I'm really bringing it, not just an avatar that's available to me, but like, this is part of me. This is like my personality. You can glean things off of like, in Grand Theft Auto, it's like, I'm wearing certain clothes because this is how I want to present myself. And it's like going into the Matrix, you know, it's like, that's the best. Yeah. But what about you? What was your first memory?
Well, so Pokemon was like, I was 8, so I would have been in like second grade, I think. Mm-hmm. And it swept my school so fast and hard.
I was just going to say.
It was like, they ended up banning Pokemon cards in my school. And kids were so obsessed with Pokemon that they would actually, we would start to buy and trade those little like rubber, like hard rubber Pokemon action figures.
Yeah.
And it was all because of Pokemon Red and Blue.
I remember those.
Yeah.
And like schools have done more to combat Pokemon than they have to combat coronavirus. So there's ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. See, that's, I'll be here all week, folks. That's like my my late night monologue. I'm doing like the Jay. Yeah, did you hear about this? What did you hear about this?
I don't know why I went Star Wars with that.
I don't know. I just did a Jay Leno and a Kevin Eubanks.
And I'm singing Star Wars for Pokemon.
That's what it was. It was always like a jazz, like,
right, yeah,
like a little guitar riff.
Next week on Dave Macy.
Did you hear about this? My glib Leno impersonation.
I would watch that show. Yeah. I want you to just narrate various aspects of life like that.
As Jay Leno. I'll put on a fake chin.
Yeah.
It'll be Dave's Garage. Anyway. Yeah. So, you were saying, which color did you have? Did you have red, blue?
So I started with blue.
Okay.
And it was like this magical experience, dude. Like it sounds really cheesy, but it's like one of the best like nostalgia moments of my life that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Not like best moments of my life, but like the type of nostalgia that like really hits you hard.
Yeah. Mine will always be Ocarina of Time, but we'll talk about it.
Oh yeah.
We
were at the Summit Place Mall in Pontiac, mm-hmm. Waterford. I don't know what technically it was. And that was back before you would get stabbed walking around there.
Way back in the day, I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
It's not even. Summit Place doesn't exist anymore.
No, right? Yeah. It's fully gone. Yeah. It's totally demolished. Yeah, but it's. This was already actually while it was kind of starting its decline, because it was gone by like 2001 or so. Or really starting to hurt by 2001. But there was this little gaming store. I don't even remember what it was. It could have been an EB Games or
EB.
It may have been Funko Land back before that.
I was going to say, yeah. Funko Land is, that was it. EB Games or Funko Land?
I think it was. No, because Funko Land was outside the mall. That's right. So EB Games, I think, was inside the mall.
Yeah, I remember one Funko Land in Rochester, but we always went there.
Yeah, we went to the one in Waterford, but I remember I walked in and like I knew that I wanted Pokemon, and I didn't know whether I wanted red or blue. And it's just like I can remember the feeling of the cardboard case in my hand. And I remember, I don't even think I made it out of the store without opening it up and putting it in my hand-me-down Game Boy.
Right.
Not Game Boy Pocket. It was like the big, chunky.
OG. Yeah, the OG. Yeah.
And
the gray boy.
Which somehow none of those ever have a battery cover.
No.
Like, that battery cover is just gone forever.
It's the first thing that gets like shattered off when your older brother throws it against the wall out of anger.
And I just remember like, I was so entranced with that game because it was the first game that didn't, from my memory anyway, it didn't feel like it was really catering to me as a kid. It was like, and it was obviously like it's a game built for children, but like it didn't feel like it was, you know, holding my hand through everything. It was kind of letting me explore and build up my Pokemon team, how I want to build up my Pokemon team. And I mean, I just played the absolute living daylights out of that. Once in a while, I'll still go back and play like Fire Red or something like that, just because it's, you know, same game, better graphics. But
yeah, it's one of those things too. It's like, you know, right away, like you said, doesn't hold your hand. It like introduces you, it like gets you rolling. But then like, if you really like even just take a minute, you're like, oh, once you start realizing like as Pokemon level up, they get more abilities. Right. You can start trading the abilities. You can start building a team that there's like, oh, this combats this better, like the element types, you start and items and all that, you start to realize like, oh, this custom is it. Have you ever picked up a game, especially RPGs tend to do this, and you get out into the world, especially like Fallout does this a lot too, and you'll start picking up items and you'll be like, oh, this is great. Look at all the stuff I can scavenge. Yeah. And then about 5 minutes later, you're like, oh no, look at all the stuff I can scavenge. Cause you're like, you start realizing it's like, too much. No, in about 4 days, am I going to be like at that halfway point through the game? And all I'm going to be doing is grinding for one item. Is that what's about to happen? Like you get worried, but Pokemon, it did such a good job of spreading all that out.
There was a fair amount of grind though. Like you had to, but the grinding never really felt, I shouldn't say never. Most of the time it didn't feel too much like grinding.
It didn't feel like Final Fantasy grinding. Cause my brother, that was my first RPG experience, was the very first Final Fantasy on NES. And that was still, I mean, like we said, it was 98. We were just got our Nintendo 64 a couple years previous. So we were playing the NES up until this point. And every summer we would play it. Cause it was up at our cot. It was on like an old TV. You know, we would just play it up there, which was great. You'd come back like every year to all these old games. But, I had hours already of sitting and watching him play RPGs. So at first I was a little skittish, but I was like, this is different. This isn't
right.
This is a little more actiony, a little more, I don't know, diverse, I guess might be the a little more palatable.
So yeah. The thing that I was going to ask you about was so your rival in the game, for those of you who, first of all, there is no, for those of you who haven't played Pokemon, you've played Pokemon. What did you name your rival? What was your go-to?
Oh gosh, I can't even remember. I forgot you could name him.
I think that I usually named him like Jerk or Butthead or something like that.
It was always like someone, I remember, I was petty. I would name it somebody I did not like in school or something like that. It was like a shitty kid or like, you know, like somebody I just really didn't care for. It was like, I was always like that too. Like in
did
the
you
Sims,
get bullied in school?
Oh yeah. I was, did especially really? In elementary school, especially because like it was before I was a weird kid and I was like a nerd. And,
wait,
like,
dude, we're theater kids. Awkward. We're,
I know, yeah, right? But in middle school, I learned to like copy Comedy Central stand-up routines and regurgitate them, even if I didn't know what I was talking about. But people like the, so that's where my theater career probably really started. But like, yeah, things didn't normal out until about high school. But anyway, but
same.
Like, yeah, I remember like that, just seeing those, you know, hours and hours of RPGs, it's more palatable. Like, and that's the other thing too. Like you said, that was one of the bridging things though, in elementary school, everybody had Pokemon. It didn't matter. Even teachers. I had a teacher who let us bring them in. Yeah. I had a teacher who let us bring our Game Boys in.
Really?
Near the end of the year, like near summer.
Well, and I remember
he was a substitute because our previous teacher got pregnant and went into labor. And
so he didn't care. He was like, whatever.
Yeah, he was like, I'm picking up a fifth grade second semester, like in spring. What are we even talking about?
Yeah. It's nothing.
So, which movie are we watching?
Wheel in that big TV on the cart. Like.
But he was great. He was like, bring your Pokemon in. And wasn't it one of the first games you could use? You didn't have to have a connector cord.
No, you still had to have the connector cable.
You did?
Yeah. Oh yeah. For a while. Like they didn't have the
remember.
Wire.
And it was crappy though when it was.
Oh, it was. It never worked. Like I remember we would spend like 3, 4, 6 hours. Like just connecting link cables.
Well, it would just be, you'd be laying on the ground.
I don't think you could could you do that on the first one? Yes, you could do it in the first one.
I think you could.
Because that's the only way that you can get Alakazam is through trading.
Yes. Yeah.
And Machamp. Yeah. Did you ever get like that first edition Machamp that was like in the wrapper?
I got Alakazam. I didn't get the Machamp.
And I remember.
Oh, the card.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the Pokemon cards. That was another. That might have even been as equally huge now that I think about it. Like going into school. Yeah. Like
in Pokemon my school, cards, the cards were bigger they allowed for sure.
Them. They actually, it was more allowed in more areas of the school. So yeah, was binders.
The thing with Pokemon, like, so did you ever actually play the game as it was meant to be played, the Pokemon game, or did you just trade?
Oh, like the video game?
No, the card game.
Oh, the card game. Yeah, we played. I played it because my brother was also obsessed with Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
And that, I mean, that's kind of one of the OG, like those kind of card game games. And I had a Magic deck. So I loved I knew kind of how it borrows a lot and it's like a way dumbed down version, but like, I was like, as soon as he explained the rules of how to play the Pokemon, we were like, oh yeah, this is super easy. Got it. So we would really focus on playing. And that was funny too, because when I would buy decks, then I would focus. I'd be like, oh, I need numbers. I wasn't looking necessarily for that special card. I was looking to build my deck up, but
that's so interesting because I collected the cards like crazy. And I remember at one point I even had like 3 Charizards and I gave one away to my cousin, which I love my cousin, but like, I'm like, man, I'd never like,
dude, that's a bill payment right now.
I have one upstairs. I have a Charizard holographic.
Well, if you guys have any student loans or anything you need paid on, well, that
it's
might
not,
be
so
one
it's not
them.
The Shadowless. That's
the first edition Shadowless.
Yeah. Yep. If you get the Shadowless one, it can holographic. Be like $8,000 or something ridiculous, like
something absurd.
But I remember though, when
if we only knew.
This is becoming like nostalgia talk, but like I remember seeing the Venusaur playing card for the first time. And I hadn't, and this was the thing. So like, and this is maybe not as relatable now, because now when a new Pokemon game comes out, you can go on to Reddit and see every Pokemon right away. You can, you know, it's
well,
because
there's such
Instagram.
A rage now about what they're not including. People demand to know,
right?
Like a months before, they're like, you better include all these. And if not, what are you introducing
with Pokemon Red and Blue? It was so new that like, I had never seen a Venusaur. I didn't know what Bulbasaur turned into. I didn't even know about Ivysaur at that point. So like it's just, and that's something that you don't get now. You know what I mean? There's an online community for everything that walks you through it now. And it was so cool to see this final evolution of one of the starter Pokemon that I didn't pick and then go home and play my game knowing that I might eventually see that. It was just, it was a really cool sort of universe building thing that obviously Nintendo did very, very intentionally.
Now the show, did you watch that? And
oh, hell
did
yeah.
You watch it before you had the game or after you had the game? Cause I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember. It was for me, Pokemon because, was like jumping into jumping into a pool that had like hot and cold water splashing in the middle.
Yeah.
And I don't know what hit me first. Like, was it the show, the card, because
for some reason, I went into the game knowing that they could evolve. And that was like kind of one of the main ideas of like powering them up. I feel like I might have seen the show before I got the game.
Well, and when
I was going to say, I think I could count on one hand to this day how many times I chose Bulbasaur. I never chose green. I was either Charmander or usually Squirtle because I was blue, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter color game you had. But for I've always been, and it's like my meticulousness and being anal, I'm sure that's it. But like, if I have the blue game, I'm using Squirtle. Or it makes it horrible for like an Animal Crossing. Everything has to be like perfectly placed. And like
have you still been playing Animal Crossing?
No, I've fallen off.
I've totally
I'm back
off.
In like Red Dead Online.
Right.
But that's the thing too. It's like when I would see people like in an online game, any game where you can go visit someone or like see what they're doing or see how they've arranged things. And if I went into something where it's just a nightmare or they're being goofy,
right.
And like, you know what I'm saying? I lose my mind. Everything has to look like set, you know, I don't know if that, like it has to make sense.
And I think
like a toilet can't be in the kitchen.
Right.
Like, well, it's not a New York studio apartment. Like, that sort of thing.
I was kind of the same way. Like because I had blue, I started off with Squirtle and then I, you know, obviously got to Blastoise.
Yeah.
But eventually, and I think I did this on my blue copy as well, but now I always 100% of the time will choose Charmander because there's just something about Charmander that just, Charizard is so cool.
He has the easiest time right away.
Yeah.
Because when you go to the water gym, it's so early on that like everything's still pretty much evenly matched.
Right.
So like the fact that you might have a fire starter is outmatched by the fact that it's probably way higher level at that point.
Right.
Like if you've done your job, it should be fine. And then after that, it's like, cause Charizard is, I mean, he's such a powerhouse away.
Even Blastoise too, though. I mean, Blastoise is, you know, he can hold his own. That's for sure.
Yeah. Especially in that annoying electrical gym. That's awesome to have.
Yeah. And some of those, like that game was unforgiving. Like when you got to the Elite Four, like they didn't mess around. That was some of like the old school style of, we need to pad out our game length by making it more difficult, making you need to grind, making you need to.
The Rocket Tower or whatever it was with all the moving floors.
Giovanni's Tower.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I hated that.
That was
I'm sure it would be fine now, but like,
it's not, dude. I played it.
I'm sure it isn't.
I played it a few years ago and it was awful.
Are there holes and different floors? It's like, there were those levels that really bugged the hell out of me. And like the caves.
It was the caves. Yeah, for me, it was the caves that got me.
When it's dark with the, and all you're fighting are like
Zubats.
The Zubats and, it's awful.
I remember the Elite Four never gave me too much trouble. Like I always, I could get through them pretty easily, but you really had to train up. And then there was, of course, the missing no glitch. Did you ever do that?
Oh yeah, missing it. You had to swim up that side of an eye. I remember out into that water area patch. And I remember my brother and I just back and forth.
Yep.
And it would pop up. And I had a whole team of missing those.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember what glitch I did, but I ended up having a Snorlax that was like, it was either max level or more than max level. Cause I had like some sort of like infinite rare candy glitch.
That was the thing. Yeah. You could get the rare candy glitch and the master ball glitch where you would just like,
I just remembered the most embarrassing damn story about myself. Like, almost as embarrassing as Extreme Machine.
Extreme Machine.
I will tell on here someday. So I had this Snorlax that I had super leveled, and I had this dream. So my parents' house was like right behind where I went to school.
Yep.
And they had this big, not my parents, the school had this big like tennis court. Mm-hmm. And the nets were usually down because it was Waterford schools and we couldn't afford nets. But but what I had this like ambition for was, I'm going to start a Game Boy Pokemon tournament. And what I'll do is I'll set up like 100 tables on the tennis court. And I'll have kids cycle through, and me, I'm going to be the one that they have to face last. I am the Elite Four with my Snorlax. And so I remember, like, I thought with my Snorlax that I would be so unstoppable that, like, no matter what came up against me, not realizing, like, obviously if I did that would be super cheating. Like,
yeah,
I used a glitch and an exploit to level him up
right away. People like, be like, well, what the hell is this? And then secondly, it's like, Snorlax is good, but it's not like,
I don't know why Snorlax, I don't know if I like got like a trade form, if it was like the only one that the glitch worked with, I don't remember. But needless to say, that dream never came to fruition.
Didn't pan out. Well, that's probably for the best.
It probably is. But like, I mean, would you have showed up, Dave?
I mean, at that age, sure. It's like, yes, it was like one of those exciting, like, yeah, it's
I
anything.
I just needed
like
the reassurance, man.
Of course. I remember it was like, because it went from like hanging out at your friend's house, then sleepovers. You could play multiplayer, especially when Nintendo 64 came out. You had all the split screen. You could have like four people over. Then Halo was another game change. I mean, Game Boy, but like Halo was that other thing where it got really exciting with LAN parties. Like, as party sizes increased. Yeah. I mean, I remember like one of the first LAN parties, like there were 12. I was like, how are there 12 kids right now in this basement on three separate TVs?
Right.
All with Ethernet, like cords running through, you know, it looked like pandemonium.
Yeah.
But that was the best. Like, those were people bringing like their TVs over.
Like when we had our Counter-Strike Source Day at your old apartment, that was a good time. And even that was somewhat more modern too.
Yeah. We're trying to coordinate for Cyberpunk 2077. It's coming out on the 19th of November. So we're trying to do something that maybe on the 20th or that 20th, that Friday, like have a bunch of people over and play, but we'll see.
Hit me up. Yeah. Let me know.
Absolutely. I'm going to get for PlayStation. So,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to wait for PS5 because there's I don't want to wait that long for the game.
Yeah.
And if
fair.
It's that incredible and if it's that amazing, kind of like how GTA 5 was, I'll probably just buy the, eventually buy the PS5 version of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about before we get to the end of our time here is, the game that came out very shortly after Red and Blue was Pokemon Snap, which came out in 99.
And the new one, excuse me, isn't there a new one announced?
Oh my gosh, the new one is looking so good.
You can move, it's like motion, right? You actually like...
I'm not sure.
That was great for an audio medium. If you could see our screen, right. I was pivoting like I was holding
over
like
here
a
like
switch
I don't know
up, like
I don't
camera.
Know
like but, it's VR. It might be. I wouldn't. Why not?
Right.
It's a motion based with the controls. Like
that'd be a fun way to do it.
That'd be pretty cool. Or make it so like when you're doing handheld motion, you can do that.
The reason I wanted to bring it up was because that was just one more example. So if you had, let's say, just the Pokemon cards, you were almost forced into buying the Pokemon game, watching the Pokemon anime, buying Pokemon Snap.
It was pretty brilliant.
I mean? Like merchandising, like it was all over. Like I think that they've made more money, way more money from merch than they have the games themselves.
Truly. Have to be true.
Look, Pikachu is like this. You can show a photo of Pikachu to anybody, anywhere, at any time.
They know it.
And they know
it's like Mickey Mouse. It's Mario. It's Ronald McDonald.
And I mean, Nintendo sort of has this ability to create these hyper memorable.
We mentioned characters. That in a previous episode about like how they have an entire, like a true rogues gallery of no other company that even comes close to like, I could name like 10 characters right now that all have individual games and are like clouded as great game. It's like you got Samus, you got Kirby, you got Donkey Kong, you got Mario, you got like Star Fox, all this stuff just nonstop. And then they can take those characters and have fun. Like it's there's like a, it's not sloppiness. It's like you can put all these characters in Super Smash Brothers or in Mario Kart. You can diversify them.
Yeah,
they have fun with your,
they didn't like, half-ass guys. It with anybody.
You're never going to see like PlayStation put, I'm trying to think like,
well, they tried.
Who's an exclusive, like Crash Bandicoot. Well, now he could fit in like a soccer game or something stupid like that. Right. But like, you know, you're not going to, there aren't going to be too many of those. Like the Gears of War guys aren't going to be in a kart racing game with their other ex, with the Halo, with Master Chief.
I would play that. Like I'm just saying.
I'd play a Gears of War Halo crossover. That'd be pretty crazy.
As long as it's a racing game, like, you know, like the Warthog out there. Like,
yeah, that'd be, great.
Incredible.
But, you know, like, but it's just, they really cornered that market. They pulled what Marvel did with the Avengers. And now every, like how DC then tried to,
where you, like you need to be tied into everything. And and even now, like, I mean, look how many Pokemon games have come out at this point. Like, I've lost track. Like, there's every couple of years, there's a new one that comes out, and some of them are good, some of them are, and, you know, but the thing is, they all sort of stick to this core mechanic, which kind of brings me to my final question for you, Sir Dave. What would you want to see? Like, if we, let's say that we were able to do something with Pokemon Red and Blue specifically, what would you want to see?
I would do full modernization. Keep it, you know, maybe add a couple more little things, like a couple favorite Pokemon, or maybe a few more legendary or something. Expand the map, give a couple more islands or something, or like little areas, maybe with said new Pokemon.
Right.
And make it full 3D, full open world, full multiplayer,
that'd be cool.
Constant. Like it's just, you just sign in, you're always in that. Or, I mean, obviously you can be single player. And then you can, yeah, you can just add those elements. Always massive multiplayer.
I think it would be awesome to see them really hit and revamp the player versus player battle. Like, so taking that same idea, like
trading, you know, and battling,
like update all the graphics, make it look beautiful for these new systems. But then kind of when it comes around to time to battle a buddy or something, that it almost becomes like a Pokemon stadium where there's, there's like a lot of attention to detail. The Pokemon maybe actually have some like movements to each of their moves.
Well, that's the exciting thing. I think we're on the cusp of some really possibly cool game ideas where it's like, you, we now have the technology and the ability to make a Pokemon game where it's like, it's Pokemon Red and Blue. It's also Pokemon Snap. It's also this and the Safari or like whatever, because it's like now we can make a 3D game where it's like, oh, use your camera now instead of catching this Pokemon.
Right.
Like you can build up it. Yeah.
Dude, I remember even with Pokemon Snap, it became such a phenomenon at my school. So again, that was a year later, and they sold these little, I think they were pencil sharpeners that looked like cameras.
Yeah.
And they even had like a little window in it. And me and my buddies, they were like a dollar. We all bought one. And we walked around outside at recess and we're playing Pokemon Snap at recess. So it was like Pokemon had my money, my parents' money for like at least 3 years straight. Like everything that came out, got it. Like, and you know, I didn't come from like a super rich family or anything, but like that was where I put my priority. If I was getting a birthday gift,
those games.
You bet your ass it was Pokemon. It was, if I was getting, you know, something for Christmas, I wanted a new booster pack of cards. Like, it was everything.
It
sort
was
of
the
revolved
easy go-to
that.
Gift.
Yeah. It totally was. It still kind of is. I mean, if they re-released Pokemon Red and Blue with updated graphics, dude, I would flip. Like,
oh, I'm waiting.
I still, I'll go back once in a while. Like I said, and I'll play through Fire Red. It's nice to play through it on an emulator because then you can just do everything at double speed, and it's just.
We got a 25th anniversary coming up in 2023, so that's. I look at those numbers. Those 25 seems to be a good number for anniversaries for video games whenever they're going to do something with it, at least.
For sure.
That seems to be the case. Because you can have like a four generation jump, like leap or something like that, like GoldenEye. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, unless we want to discuss Pokemon Go, but that was a whole other.
I think that we say that for another episode because
that was just a true behemoth.
Yeah. And I, honestly, like I would have loved to have more time here to like talk about some like. Some of the sort of nitty gritty trivia. Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
To talk about some of the trivia, but you know what? We'll be talking more trivia, you guys, in future episodes. And you know, we're still doing the whole like trivia fun facts type thing, but we just wanted to talk today a lot about sort of the experience that comes along with some of these classic games and what they influenced. I mean, the Pokemon reach is still so huge. Like, I'll see if I go onto like an Instagram meme account, if they post a Pokemon meme, it blows up. It's huge. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Digimon, yeah. Beyblade, Yu-Gi-Oh, all that stuff. I mean, it all came out of Pokemon, or it had to have. I don't recall.
I was a big Yu-Gi-Oh fan, dude. I got real into that card game.
That I remember coming from home, and it was always the show that was on. It was like I would catch an episode halfway through on Cartoon Network or something. I think it was Cartoon Network, because I was like, I want Dragon Ball Z and like stuff like that. I was like waiting for that like 4 to 5 or like a reboot and stuff like that. So
yeah, yeah. But, did you play the card game for Yu-Gi-Oh?
No, I never ever once. Oh my gosh. I don't think I've watched an entire episode. I don't think I played anything of it.
Dude, I'm gonna banish your ass to the Shadow Realm.
I know. See, that's the thing. It's like they took like, oh, Pokemon was a hit and Pokemon cards was a hit.
Right.
Let's just combine the two into one.
Everybody, and you're like, okay. Yeah. I mean, even,
all right, I can see it.
I mean, look at Digimon too. Like you were saying, like that's literally Pokemon.
That's like literally it. Yeah, like
Digimon, digital monsters.
Digimon are the champions.
I remember that, like. Yeah. That and the Sock'em Boppers commercial theme song.
Sock'em Boppers.
More fun than a pillow fight.
Yeah, it's just kids just beating the shit out of each other. Like, what were we thinking?
Dude, you're the
like,
90s were a wild time, dude. It was
wild. But yeah.
Anyway, if you guys want to check us out, we're on Instagram at Hitbox Heroes. We have a website that we haven't done anything with yet. It's just going to probably link
just
you guys.
Just getting off the ground.
Yeah. So we'll give you the details on that soon. But for now, check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Tell your friends. We would love it if you guys could rate us 5 stars, give a quick review, especially in these early episodes. It makes a big difference.
Yes, subscriptions are key. You can find me on Instagram at the Dave of Wonders.
And you can find me on Instagram at the Zach Rogers. And I think that's it. Can I tell a really quick gross story before we go?
Please do.
So my wonderful, lovely wife, who I'll have to see if I leave in a snippet of her phone call. Maybe I'll throw it in at the end of this.
Are you going to have to ask permission? This might be all cut. Right.
I might put it in at the end. We'll see. So if I got permission to put it in, you'll hear it in just a minute. But she threw me an awesome, amazing surprise 30th birthday party, which Dave was at, which was awesome. It was so much fun. But we had this
socially distanced.
Yep. We tried to keep everyone at a good distance, and it was a very small gathering too. It was not like a bash. It was like we were playing cornhole
under
10. It was like
I mean there were a few parent friends stuff too.
Yeah, at the beginning. But anyway, so long story short, we had this fruit salad. And we were, munching at it for a few days. Garbage man comes on Wednesdays. I'm just going to say that. So on Wednesday night after the garbage came, my brilliant mind said, I'm going to throw this fruit salad out in the trash.
Oh, no.
And it was the outside trash. And I was like, oh, gross. This trash kind of smells. And then on like Friday, I was like, oh, gross. This trash has a couple of maggots on it. And then I came out Saturday and Sunday. I'm not exaggerating, dude. There were more maggots covered on my trash can than there was trash can. And so today, like, I brought the cans in, and I mean, I had to have washed out 100 dead maggots from the inside, and I'm bleaching it. I'm hosing it. I'm using like Mr. Clean.
Oh yeah.
It was literally the grossest experience of my life.
That's one of those things. Yeah. If we throw fruit out, it's like double bag it. Make sure nothing, like, you do the upside down bag so you're not smell. Oh god,
I'm waiting until garbage day to do that from here on out.
Or it's like, yeah, you guys are lucky you have a garage,
right?
You could at least keep it in there. I remember back.
Well,
the old house,
we left it outside though, because I was an idiot.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yikes. What were you saying? Oh, sorry.
No, but like I remember at our old house, we couldn't. It was a detached garage, so there was just no. In the winter, I'm not why. Right. So trash would just sit in like the corner near our door, and it would just get real bad.
But, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to my gross story.
To trash talk.
To trash talk. Oh my gosh, that'd be if trash anybody talk. Out there
talking
is a garbage
trash.
Man, like you need to make a podcast.
Talking trash.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm way too good at this.
Meanwhile,
I don't want to produce it or do anything involved. I'll just come up with the
meanwhile,
name
it took us like 6 weeks to come up with the name Hitbox Heroes.
Oh my god.
But but anyway, we love you guys, and we are so looking forward to seeing you next week.
Catch you later.